Congress is poised to ratify a free trade agreement with Colombia in spite of vehement opposition both here in the U.S. and in Colombia. The Latin American Working Group calls Colombia, quote, the world leader in anti-union violence. Over 50 union organizers were killed in 2010 alone, and at least 200 have been killed since the first agreement was ratified between the two nations in 2007. The Colombian army has been implicated in the most recent murders of two agricultural union members. Among those voicing concern in the U.S. to a renewed deal are Public Citizen, SEIU, the AFL-CIO, and a cadre of members of Congress. The groups have publicly demanded that President Obama refuse to approve a deal before the Colombian government takes concrete steps to protect workers and to prosecute those crimes that have taken place. However, human rights abuses are not the only concern. A negative economic impact on U.S. and Colombian labor is predicted. There is concern that Colombian farmers will not be able to compete with heavily subsidized U.S. agriculture for food products. This could push them to grow coca for the drug trade or out of agriculture altogether. The agreement also puts U.S. jobs at risk. In Colombia, workers have taken to the streets to protest the impending deal. My guest is Jess Hunter Bowman. She's the Associate Director at Witness for Peace. Welcome to Uprising, Jess.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. I meant to say he is the Associate Director. So first, isn't there a part of this agreement that does allow for or include some protections for trade unionists, as well as allowing or designating 100 labor inspectors to address any abuses that are committed in Colombia against workers?
That is true. The new action plan that was just agreed upon between the Colombian government and the U.S. government does outline some steps to be taken to protect workers, to increase prosecutions, to provide better protection for them in terms of bodyguards and armored cars and things of that nature. The problem with this is there's no real teeth in this agreement. It has some deadlines attached to it, but in fact, the Colombian government has been being pushed on this since this deal was being negotiated and since it was signed in 2006, and we really haven't seen any substantial improvement. And so I have no reason to believe that this action plan that the two countries have agreed on is really going to do anything to change the situation for labor leaders and trade unionists in Colombia.
And haven't U.S. labor groups and other organizations like Public Citizen and even members of Congress put out some very concrete steps that President Obama could have taken, or recommendations that the president could have taken that weren't included in this?
Well, the basic demand from those groups was that the agreement be contingent upon marked improvement in these areas, and that the deal not be submitted to Congress for ratification until some benchmarks were met, whereas the agreement, for example, you know, some percentage of reduction in killings of trade unionists, an increase in successful prosecutions of people that are alleged to be guilty of crimes against trade unionists. But what this deal has in place is simply calls for some bureaucratic steps of more investigators, protection program slots for trade unionists, but it doesn't call for any plan to be put in place to measure those goals before this deal goes for ratification before Congress.
Also, I understand the actual reason behind the violence is not being addressed. I mean, these trade unionists that have been killed, and it's been going on for many years now, it happens at the hands of paramilitaries, government paramilitaries. The Colombian government, it should be mentioned, receives billions of dollars of aid, has received billions of dollars in aid from the U.S. government to apparently battle drugs. But a lot of this money is known to go into the paramilitaries that then target these trade unionists. And there's nothing, as far as I know, in this trade agreement about the cause of the violence, the paramilitaries themselves.
That's correct. There's a serious problem with paramilitary violence in Colombia. There was a demobilization that took place in the middle of the past decade, but it was really a farcical demobilization. The OAS, which is monitoring that demobilization process, estimates that approximately 5,000 paramilitaries are still active in the country. They're still, according to the United Nations most recent human rights report, those paramilitary groups continue to collaborate with certain sectors of the Colombian state security forces. And so you have this, you know, dark alliance that continues, and the victims of that are trade unions, but also community organizers, human rights defenders, farmers, and others. And this deal really does nothing to deal with those root causes of the violence. It does nothing to deal with the Colombian armed conflict, which is it's a real problem when you're considering increased investment by multinational corporations in a country. I mean, you have the case of Chiquita Banana that was indicted for providing financial assistance to illegal armed groups in Colombia. You have Drummond Coal, a U.S. corporation that's under investigation. There's a suit that's been filed against them for paying paramilitary leaders to attack the union that works in the Drummond coal mines, and it goes on and on. And this deal really would do nothing, as I said, to address any of those underlying causes of violence. The action plan that was put in place, as far as I can tell, is simply a veiled effort to try to appease some of the concerns coming out of the labor movement and some Democrats in Congress, but really would do nothing to change substantially the situation in Colombia.
Well, what you just addressed was a larger violence beyond just trade unions and the killing of labor organizers in Colombia, and even the very minimal bureaucratic type of safety net that has been put in place in this agreement does not include that broader level of violence that you just discussed.
Correct. I mean, one of the real pushes for this deal by the administration and by certain members of Congress is that Colombia is our most important ally in the hemisphere. And so we need to reward this important ally with this trade deal. It's unfair to keep them waiting in the wings while other trade deals are signed and are ratified. But there's a real question about ratifying an agreement about giving a stamp of approval to the Colombian government at a time which, in the past 10 years, when we provided $6 billion in military assistance, as you indicated, 30,000 innocent civilians have been killed in this armed conflict, 3,000 of them at the hands of the Colombian security forces that we're supporting. The UN has declared Colombia the worst humanitarian crisis in the world now that there have 5.2 million internally displaced people. Again, 3.3 million of those internally displaced people were displaced just from 2000 to 2010. There's a real crisis, and in my mind, there's a real question about, you know, giving a stamp of approval to a country that is dealing with such a conflict, but where you have the Colombian military, the Colombian government that, you know, is the worst human rights violator in the hemisphere.
No, President Obama, outside of the actual detail of the free trade agreement, has announced an action plan that he says includes initiatives aimed at ending violence. He's given the deadline of July 30th for the Colombian government to demonstrate that they're going to take action. Many organizations are saying that this particular action plan also does not have much teeth, and the deadline is, you know, coming up really fast. It's just a few months that it's not going to be even possible, even if the Colombian government was sincere, to have any long-term change. What do you make of this action plan by President Obama?
Well, I really think it's a desperate attempt to try to pull off as many votes as possible to get this deal passed in Congress. I mean, it has no real teeth. There's some bureaucratic steps that would need to be put in place with some increased funding for investigators, for prosecuting units, some increased protection programs for trade unionists. And, you know, that's not what we need to see at this point. I don't need to see more prosecutors being assigned to cases of trade unionists. I mean, we know that only 5% of the 2,800 cases of murders of trade unionists have been successfully prosecuted since 1986. I mean, we know what the problems are. What we need to see is action and success, and it's not just more bureaucratic steps to try to appease certain people in Washington in order to try to win a vote. I mean, we're talking about life and death here for workers. This is an opportunity to show where our values are and where our morals are, and that we're not just going to award a free trade agreement to a country that is unable to, not only unable to protect its own workers, but in fact is implicated in the killing of its own workers.
I'm speaking with Jess Hunter Bowman. He's the associate director with the organization Witness for Peace. We're talking about the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement. Now, I understand that the politics behind this free trade agreement are interesting and yet again indicative of President Obama's capitulation to the Republican Party, because apparently the GOP refused to ratify the U.S.-South Korea free trade deal unless and until agreements were also made between the U.S. and Colombia and the U.S. and Panama. So do you think that this act to by Obama to push this free trade deal is part of his effort to try to get the GOP's agreement on other free trade deals?
Well, there's a package, as you indicated, of three trade deals that the Obama administration would like to see go through, the Colombia deal, the Panama deal, and the Korea deal, which is part of a series of NAFTA-styled free trade agreements that were negotiated under the Bush administration. And you had, a large percentage of Democrats in opposition to these deals, and the Obama candidate, Obama, actually came out publicly against the Colombia deal and this free trade, this NAFTA-styled free trade model. But we're seeing a real shift in President Obama, in which, he's making overtures to the business community and to the Republican Party and trying to push forward some trade deals, which are really a problem for the United States, for workers in this country, and for workers and farmers and others in other countries. The problem is in the case of Colombia, there's a lot of talk about the violence against trade unionists and the problems with that labor organizers face in that country. But the bigger picture is that there's a problem with this model. This free trade model is a model that really boosts corporate profit. It boosts trade at the expense of poor majorities in these countries in Latin America and across the world, at the expense of small farmers, at the expense of workers.
Well, let me ask you about the effect of this free trade agreement on rural communities in Colombia, including indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombians. Is that the kind of effect that you're talking about with farmers in Colombia?
It's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, these countries and throughout Latin America and across the world, really, when you're talking about underdeveloped countries, there's a large sector of the population ekes its livelihood out of subsistence farming and small-scale farming for a meager profit. And what this trade deal does is you have large subsidized agriculture here in the United States, where we have huge surpluses of subsidized grain, and corporations want to find a market for that. And that's a big part of what these trade deals are about. We flood these markets with cheap grain that's produced here in the United States through our subsidies and through corporate farming. And it really just destroys this cultural fabric, the social fabric of these countries, and drives large swaths of these small farmers out of business. And now the argument by free traders is that these people will find jobs in other areas in their where they have a comparative advantage. For example, when NAFTA was put into place, there was a whole series of factories put along the border called maquilas that were going to be producing textiles, car parts, and other things for the United States. And in fact, 1.3 million jobs were created in that sector. But as we all know, no one can compete with China in that kind of manufacturing area when you're talking about, the trade at its most base form. And so the vast majority of those jobs have been lost. 2 million corn farmers in Mexico have lost their livelihoods. And the escape valve for those farmers has been migrating to the United States. And that, as you can see, how migration to the United States has increased substantially in post-NAFTA Mexico. Now, when you look at a country like Colombia, that escape valve for small farmers will not be migrating to the United States, although there may be some migration that happens. But in Colombia, what you're going to see is major increases in farmers being lured into the illicit drug production market.
Right.
Farmers who will produce coca, the raw material for cocaine, not to become wealthy drug traffickers, not to be driving around the Amazon basin in Cadillacs, but rather to simply be able to put their children through school. When they have no other option, that's the option that they're going to turn to. And you saw in Colombia, I mean, it's important to note that in Colombia, the resistance to this deal in Colombia was suppressed quite a bit because the president, the then president at that point, Álvaro Uribe, publicly stated on multiple occasions that anyone who spoke out against this free trade agreement must be a member of the guerrilla forces. And when you're labeled with that name in Colombia, that puts a target on your back. And so there weren't a lot of people that were willing to risk their lives by speaking up against this. But in indigenous communities, they conducted polls about their views on this agreement. And 98% to 99%, depending on the community, were against this deal. They polled small wheat farmers, rice farmers, and other farmers in Colombia as well. And every one of those polls came back with 90% of the respondents opposed to this agreement, because they know that the writing's on the wall for them. They will not be able to compete, and they will be run out of business.
Well, finally, Jess, what can listeners here do about this free trade deal? Is there some place that they can go to online to make their voices heard, talk to the members of Congress, etc.?
Sure. We have lots of information on our website about this deal at witnessforpeace.org. But I think the most important thing is for people to talk to their members of Congress about this. We do not need more NAFTA-style free trade agreements. This is the wrong path for us. It's wrong for workers in this country. It's wrong for the majority of people in the United States, and it's wrong for Colombians, Panamanians, and Koreans.
Well, Jess, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll link to your website from our site later. Thanks so much.
Great. Appreciate your time.
Jess Hunter-Bowman is the Associate Director for Witness for Peace. Again, his website, witnessforpeace.org. You can also check uprisingradio.org later today.